The guilt and the sorrow were overwhelming. I didn't know how I was gonna hide that anything had happened.
I came across a secret email account and I couldn't get into it. And I was pissed off.
I just wanted to feel wanted. I had failed in that moment as a wife.
Things began to unravel big time.
This was lust at its best. I knew it wasn't right.
I felt like a fool. We were still sleeping in the same bed, but there was no trust in that bed.
I felt like I was living two lives. At the very core was this constant, I don't want to be doing this, mirrored with, I don't know how to stop. I didn't really think that my husband had any idea that anything was going on, but I was engaged in something that was going to destroy us, and I knew it. When Josh and I first started dating, you know, we were young and broke college students. He was 18 and I was 19 years old.
I remember the first time I saw her. I mean, she's amazingly beautiful, and there was no doubt in my mind that I certainly wanted to get to know her a little bit more.
I was really impressed when Josh first came up to talk to me. He had a really sweet nature.
It seemed like we just connected straight away. There were sparks just everywhere. I was in love.
Josh just seemed like your all-American boy, and to be honest, I didn't really want to scare him away with my past. My earliest childhood memory is actually of sexual abuse that I endured at the hands of a family member. I was 5 years old. That incident was the start of what was going to be a long-term abusive situation.
When Lindsay and I first had conversations about her childhood, I could see the pain that and the emotion that it would come over her, and so of course I wanted to nurture her and to hold her.
Josh always made me feel very secure and very safe. I depended on Josh to kind of be my rock. About a year after we met, both of us realized just how deeply we cared for each other.
I wanted to be with Lindsay really for the rest of my life. She was the girl.
It was a fairy tale wedding. It was just really sweet and really beautiful.
Just to see her there, she was gorgeous. It was as if our life was just kind of unfolding before us. Right when Lindsay and I got married, we both started working for the same company, because we were pretty much inseparable at this point.
In November of 2000, I was pregnant with our first child.
Our daughter, Taylor Nicole, was born on July 22nd, 2001.
Josh was a great father. He was very hands-on.
There was certainly excitement about our relationship and where this next phase in our life was going to go.
We found out we were pregnant with our second child in February of 2003.
Our son, Ryan Michael, was born October 12th. I was incredibly excited to be a dad, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I remember realizing that I was now the provider, and it's a bit of pressure, feeling that I had to take care of them both. For some reason, it was almost as if this was a quarter-life crisis for me. I gained probably about 30 pounds over the next couple of years.
I know the weight gain bothered Josh, but it didn't impact how I felt about him. One Father's Day, I decided to get Josh a gym membership. He was very excited about it.
As I kept working out, I was starting to actually lose some weight. But as I started seeing results, it was something I wanted to do more. And it wasn't very long before I was working out 6 days a week.
I gradually noticed that he would spend more time away from home, and I didn't mind him working out, but I did start to mind the amount of time he was gone.
I made up my mind that I was going to do my first triathlon. I was exercising probably 20 to 25 hours a week on top of working full time.
We rarely saw each other except in passing. I really became aware of how much I missed him and I missed his presence in my life. I missed waking up and him smiling at me in the morning. I missed him being a soundboard. I missed hanging out with him. When I finally accused him of being selfish, it turned into a big fight.
We would yell and scream at each other. I felt it was something that I needed to do for me, and I was just going to go do it. It was almost as if all the responsibility of having children and working full time didn't really matter.
As the months passed, I very much felt like a single mom. The pressure that I felt to get everything done without him was greatly increased. And I didn't want my children to grow up feeling like their dad was choosing an activity over them.
I think working out for me became something that I could do that didn't involve my family. I didn't have to think about the bills or the house or Lindsay or the kids. It could just be something that I did for myself.
Josh and Lindsay's marriage was falling apart. He was really blind to the damage that he was inflicting on his family. Josh was solely inclined to his own pleasure at the expense of everything and anyone else.
I was so wrapped up in my training and or working out that I really didn't notice things that were changing with Lindsay.
My mental state at this time was a little rocky. I was having a very hard time controlling negative feelings towards my husband. At the core of it was me feeling rejected. Work was actually a very positive experience for me. I really felt accomplished there. A few months after starting a new position at work, I met someone named Alan. And I worked closely with him on a lot of projects. He was pretty funny and pretty engaging.
I remember when I met Alan for the first time, he was very charming. I knew that they would have lunch together sometimes. There weren't alarms going off in my head. There should have been, but there weren't.
At first, my relationship with Alan was very focused on work. But Alan happened to be in the area when I had a phone conversation with my husband one day that turned heated. And he asked me if I was okay. In the aftermath of that conversation is when I shared a little bit more about the depth of the struggles we had been having in our marriage. Alan was very invested in what I had to say and what I was feeling. As the weeks passed, I started to notice some comments that he would make in regards to my appearance. At first, I didn't really think much of it, but I mean, what girl doesn't want to be complimented? And so I started actually seeking the attention.
Josh was not present for so long. I think that she needed to connect with someone on an emotional level, and Alan was there.
As the weeks went on, the emails started. Alan recommended that we have private email accounts. The private email account was a means to communicate about where we wanted the relationship to go. Alan and I would express desires in email that were hard to talk about in person, but the emails eventually turned into graphic innuendos in regards to sex. It was very evident to me that we were in a place that we shouldn't be. I continued to feel torn between growing attraction and still wanting to fix my marriage and not knowing what to do. I just wanted to feel wanted. And my husband was definitely not making me feel wanted at the time.
We weren't having sex very much. Maybe once a month. It just wasn't something that we did. It just wasn't a part of our relationship at that point.
Physical intimacy decreased because we just weren't around each other.
What you see is a parallel of Josh seeking his own happiness, and then you see Lindsay almost following in the same sort of subtle footsteps as Josh in terms of seeking her own happiness outside of her marriage relationship.
A few weeks after, we went to an after-hours cocktail party with some friends, and I had been drinking a little bit. There was definitely a lot of flirting going on. So I had a good idea that something might happen. I just didn't know what. I remember very distinctly thinking, I have a choice to make right here. I can say no, or I can continue on. And if I do, things are going to change, and I'm not going to be able to go back. After a while, we decided to leave. After we left the club, we drove to his house and just sat and talked for a while. And then Alan initiated the physical intimacy. I just went along with it. I didn't say no. I felt that the weeks leading up to this had been building up to kind of this moment. And it doesn't really justify my choice, but I was so distraught and so upset over my husband and where our relationship had wound up that I was just doing anything to kind of make that pain go away. It was nothing like I expected in that the guilt and the sorrow were overwhelming. I was engaged in something that was going to destroy us, and I knew it. I never thought that I would be having an affair. I didn't want to hurt my husband. I just wanted him to be more present in our lives. I felt like by moving forward with this physical activity that I was giving up on my marriage.
So one thing you have to understand is at this point in our relationship, I was checked out. I'm training all the time. When I was home emotionally, I wasn't there. I was barely a roommate at this point.
I couldn't even remember, you know, the last time that he had said he loved me. Alan made me feel special, like I mattered.
Lindsay was not thinking about the consequences that she would face in terms of her employment with the affair. People who have affairs in their workplace really have to be very careful.
I think it would have definitely been grounds for termination. But in terms of feeling like I would get caught, it didn't really cross my mind either.
I remember one night, I was home by myself. I came across a secret email account that had her username on it, but didn't have a password that we would normally use, and I couldn't get into it. For the next 2 weeks, I probably locked up that account every day trying to guess passwords, because I didn't want to confront her with something unless I had proof. I was very suspicious at this point. Now I'm starting to think something's definitely wrong.
I really struggled with the relationship with Alan. I alternated between craving the attention and wanting to walk away. When I would come home after having been with Alan, I just felt this overwhelming just guilt and shame and pain over the entire situation. Even though I felt like he was choosing a sport over me, I knew that I still wanted to fight for my marriage. The next day, I talked to Alan about ending a relationship. But he told me that he wanted to stay in the relationship, or he would tell people about us. I remember thinking, if this gets out, we could get divorced and it would separate our family. And it was very surreal and just instant panic. I felt the shame that I felt as a child because of abuse. Most abusive situations come with rules, and you're told, this is what we're gonna do, and don't tell anybody. You don't, because it's a rule, you know, especially if you're made to feel that you will get in trouble. I felt that I needed to do what Alan wanted me to do.
Lindsay put up with what was going on with Alan because of the things that were happening to her when she was younger. It's a very similar situation. It's a person in whom she had placed trust, taking advantage of that situation. She felt powerless to overcome it and stop it.
After a while, I just stopped fighting the relationship with Alan. I just didn't know how to walk away. It was just this constant weight on my shoulders.
I remember one day, Lindsay had called me and told me that her phone had died. And so I took the phone home, charged it up. When the phone finally came back online, there was a text message from Alan talking about things that he wanted to do to her. And just the sinking feeling in my stomach of the realization that my wife was most likely at this point having an affair. And I sat there just trying to figure out, what does that mean for our marriage? What does that mean for our life together? And I was crushed. I was hurt. I was pissed off.
When I got home, I could tell immediately that something was wrong.
I had the phone in my hand. I just asked her, "You having an affair?"
And I said, "Yes, I was." The only thought that kept replaying in my head was, well, this is it. This is where we decide whether we're going to stay together or whether we're not. My biggest fear is that he would move forward with divorce.
I couldn't believe where my life was at this point. I'm asking myself a million questions. How could this happen? Why did this happen to me? I asked a lot of questions, trying to understand what was the extent of this. She was very forthcoming. She didn't hide anything.
I felt like it was the first time that he was really listening. And we talked about him being gone so much and that he had chosen other things over me in our relationship. But I did tell him that I was sorry and that I didn't mean for the situation to become what it did.
I had realized that I wasn't showing her love, but I told her that I never stopped loving her. But at the same time, I was angry and I felt like I had to confront Alan for what he had done. The next day, I saw Alan in the hallway at work and told him that under no circumstances was he to talk to my wife. At that point, their communication together ended.
I did decide to leave my job after the affair was discovered, and I really wanted to be able to pull back and focus on the heartbreaking issues that we were having to deal with.
There was never a time that I felt like I really was ready to throw in the towel. Within probably about a month of the affair, we started seeing our counselor, Brian Andrews.
The first thing I think that Josh and Lindsay did individually is commit to changing.
That took a lot of hard work and a lot of pain.
I think with Lindsay, you see that it's someone who has been wounded by someone that they trusted. The nature of the relationship between Alan and Lindsay made it difficult for her to be able to say stop, because in cases of extreme abuse, when you were smaller, it is sometimes very difficult for the person to let the other person know that they don't want that to happen. And the idea that she could trust Josh had been lost and damaged through all the things that they had gone through in their marriage.
Going through counseling, it wasn't necessarily easy. I loved Lindsay, but I didn't know how to show it.
We had never been really honest about our feelings and our thoughts.
They begin to communicate together. They begin to learn to listen to each other.
It was through that process that we started to piece the marriage back together. After seeing Brian for several months, there was a lot of realization that I almost let everything go that was important to me. Because at the end of the day, the racing and the training, it didn't mean anything. And my family is what meant everything.
The biggest key in overcoming infidelity is the ability of forgiveness to take hold. Forgiveness is difficult because it's something that doesn't come naturally for us.
When Josh said the words, "I forgive you," it was beautiful and I was thankful for it. I felt like him being able to offer me a second chance was something I didn't really deserve. We spent a lot of time together as a family, and the important thing to remember with all of this is our marriage is a constant work in progress.
One thing that Lindsay and I have found is that marriage isn't easy. There's times where we're starting to drift apart, times where we need to take a step back and just focus in on our marriage.
The main thing that surviving infidelity has taught me is that your marriage can survive anything if both of you put the effort into it.
I just want to make sure she always knows that I love her because she means everything to me.
This was lust at its best. I tried not to think about what I was doing there. I never thought that I would cheat on my wife. I never thought I'd be unfaithful. I never thought I'd be the liar that I turned out to be.
I was 19 and Ronnie was 21 when we met.
I met her at a dance. She was a better dancer than I was, but I could slow dance.
He made me feel like I was the most important person on this earth.
I knew that this was the girl that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with.
So, 2 weeks later, we got married. It was a very easy transition.
When we first got married, she was working at the bank in Colorado.
Ronnie worked for the state home for mentally challenged children.
I wanted to start a family 2 years after we were married, and of course we did do that.
Rhonda was just a perfect little girl. Ronnie was just the perfect father.
I enjoyed being a father more than you can even imagine, and I wanted to have another child.
When I had Chauncey, Ronnie was ecstatic. I enjoyed every moment of raising my girls. But we always sort of live from paycheck to paycheck.
I wanted to be a husband, a provider. I grew up in the projects. I wanted a better life for them than what I had. I wanted a home for my family. I wanted a backyard for my girls. That was my dream.
Thank you.
I wanted to move because I wanted to start making a lot more money.
And so that's what we did. We moved to Georgia.
I worked for a school system there. After a year, I had a nice little piece of money in my pocket.
And we were able to purchase a new beautiful home on an acre of land. It was perfect, but things began to unravel big time. Ronnie and I always lived one day at a time. We did buy a very nice house. I thought it would be the greatest thing that could ever happen.
I lost my job there in Georgia. I looked and looked, but I still wasn't able to find a job.
He was very discouraged at that point.
I had never been in a position like that, where I couldn't make money and support my family.
When I first met Jackie and Ronnie, it was really difficult for them to communicate. Financial stress is one of the hardest stresses on a marriage, and it can cause partners to fall apart.
We were not able to pay our bills. It made things very tense.
I was desperate. Desperate about what my next move would be.
I was like, let's sell the house, and Ronnie was all for it. But just before we got ready to leave, he said, I'm not coming. And I'm going to stay and take care of the house so that it doesn't depreciate.
I said, you know, if I can sell this house, well, then at least I could go back home with a few thousand dollars in my pocket and buy another home.
So I left and came back to Colorado with the girls, and Ronnie was still there in Georgia.
I missed my family. I didn't like being on my own. I was very lonely. And my physical needs weren't being met. I just couldn't think straight, couldn't function.
I missed him a lot, and the girls missed him also. There were times when I thought about going to Georgia just to see him, but I was not financially able to do that.
Finally, I got a job. I was working in shipping and receiving. It was probably about 4 months after Jackie left, I met a young lady, Susie. We worked in this same building that I worked in. We began to talk. I liked the way she looked. I liked the way she wore her hair. She was beautiful. I think it feels good when any woman gives you that attention. I felt important. I felt wanted. In the beginning, we would call each other every night. I wanted to be with her. And so I asked Susie out, and Susie accepted. I invited her to the house. And so here we were in this big, beautiful place. I tried not to think about what I was doing. I thought about my daughters. I really didn't want them to know their dad is involved like this. I had to take down my pictures of the family. We had dinner together. We're just kind of speaking small talk. I asked her if she would join me in the bathroom, and she did. Susie didn't mind that I was married at all. I thought to myself, what am I doing? I knew in my heart that I shouldn't be, but I went ahead anyway. I don't want to say making love because it wasn't making love, it was having sex. I had mixed emotions because I had Jackie on my heart, but I had her in the bed. When Jackie and I first got married, it never crossed my mind to cheat. I really felt guilty. This was lust at its best. I felt like a whore.
There were times when I couldn't get in touch with Ronnie. He wasn't answering the phone. And when I would get him on the phone, he always had excuses. And he would assure me that he loved me. I always tried to believe him.
There was never a thought that I would leave Jackie. I wasn't trying to build a relationship with Susie. It was convenient. There was nothing on my mind but having sex.
He wanted to satisfy himself. That became more important to him than his marriage.
The bank just took the house back. I couldn't make the mortgage.
We lost the house. And that was a terrible blow to me.
I told Susie that I'm going home to be with my family. This was the end of the relationship. She took it hard, but my family, believe it or not, was what I wanted to get back to. Jackie and I drove back from Georgia in a moving truck.
And we just tried to connect again, but we didn't connect very well. It was difficult. We had been away from each other for over a year.
It was hard to have a sexual relationship with Jackie when I got back to Colorado. And I believe that was because I had been committing adultery with someone else. I felt pretty bad about it, but I was hoping that things would get better.
Before our daughter Chauncey went off to school, we got the mail, and there was a card, and it was addressed to Ronnie. And so I opened the envelope right there because I was thinking, what is this? And it was a card from his girlfriend. And she was telling him she knew that he didn't realize how much she loved him. That was like a kick in the gut. I never expected that. I was devastated, hurt, disappointed, and feeling like, how could he do this to me? I felt like a fool.
I walked in the door and Jackie handed me the greeting card. She knew without a shadow of a doubt that I had been committing adultery. And I told her about the affair. I told her everything.
The next few days, I wasn't talking to him. We were still sleeping in the same bed, but it was cold in that bed. There was no trust in that bed. I was just beside myself. I was so stressed and depressed, and I thought, something has to change. I loved him, but I said, I don't want to do this anymore. And I said, Ronnie, you are not in my future. We cannot be together.
I think that it was very hard for her to leave him because I think that she really loved Ronnie and she really wanted to be married. But I think that her self-esteem and her sense of self-worth had been really damaged by the marriage. She was able to gather the strength to break up the relationship.
She just told me that she was leaving. I couldn't blame anybody else but myself. I knew when she left, she was through. I was giving divorce papers. I felt like somebody had cut my wrist and then my throat. I was consumed by what I was gonna do to make things work. I told her how wrong I had been and how desperately, and I mean desperately, did I want to make things right.
I didn't want to hear it. I had to find a way to encourage myself to put one foot in front of the other and move on.
I didn't know what I was going to do. I have lived, and now I'm dying by the choices I had made. It was like a death. Jackie politely told me that I have no plans for you in my future. She did not want to have anything to do with me, but I still loved her.
What usually happens is a person has to take some time for self-examination and really start to feel in their heart the pain that the other person is experiencing and to understand what has happened. I think Ronnie started to feel bad that he had hurt Jackie so much.
I love Jackie. I've always been a fighter. I was going to fight for this until the end. And so I wasn't going to let her go easily. I always invited her to go to dinner, go to a movie, but she didn't want anything to do with me.
He was persistent. He was still wooing me and still proving to me that he loved me. And all he wanted to do was make me happy.
I told her that I still loved her. During that time of separation and divorce, her heart began to soften.
And so as I listened to him, I heard a new man. He was sorry, and he said, just give me a chance.
It's very difficult to forgive a betrayal, and it takes rebuilding trust, and it takes building the faith in yourself that your partner is not going to cheat on you again. So it takes time.
It was Ronnie's idea to go to counseling, and Ronnie chose the counselor, which was very surprising to me. I mean, this is one of the reasons I knew this dude has changed. But I was still waiting for the other shoe to drop, to be honest with you.
I learned that I wasn't the man that I thought I was. I learned that I wasn't accountable for anything. I don't think it was so much of me being lonely as lustful, you know, just having something different. I could have put the loneliness off had I wanted to. But I didn't.
When the trust is destroyed, if you go through the process and you build back up your trust, you can get to the point where your relationship is better than it ever was before.
I made a covenant with her that I would never lie again.
It took time, but we were able to start to rebuild our relationship. And we did it slowly, but surely.
I think that Ronnie and Jackie always loved each other, and they rebuilt trust. They forgave themselves and each other, and they didn't have any secrets anymore.
He really did prove to me to be the man I would have him to be. I told him, I love you, and I forgive you, and let's see if we can make this work. Again. I was overwhelmed at our wedding. There were many people that were excited about us getting back together, and we were happy.
Having the second wedding made me feel like a new man. I can't even begin to tell you how good I feel. I just feel wonderful.
Today, Ronnie and I are hot for each other. It's better than it was when we first got married. He loves me from his heart and shows me every day. He has truly become a man of his word, and he has made me the happiest woman on this earth.
I look at her and just ask myself, how in the world did I deserve this? Can you imagine forgiving a person like me and just letting it drop and continue on? It would be hard for some women to do, but she did it. And I'm so thankful she did.